Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you. Rasulullah.
A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to Like Muhammad with me, Javed Akbari. We are discussing some of the qualities and attributes of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. And in the previous episode, we discussed a hadith which was lengthy and we could not cover the entire hadith. The hadith was being reported from Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, and he narrates it from his father, the commander faithful Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. I asked my father about the gatherings in which the Prophet, peace be upon him, attended, and how he dealt with the people and how he conducted himself. The Commander of Faithful said, whenever the Messenger of Allah sat down to a meeting or stood up from one, he would always be in remembrance of God. Glory be to his name. And whenever he sat with some people, he would always stay until the end of the gathering and would order others to do the same. He would give each of those present his due so that everyone would think that they were the most honored person present. So whenever he sat with someone or stood with him about a matter, he would patiently wait until the other person left. If anyone asked him for anything, he would either give him what he asked or speak to him some kind of words. His openness and good manners enveloped the people, and he was to them as a father. For him, all of them had equal rights. Dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet conducted himself in a way which did not show him as someone distinguished. For example, when there was a gathering of people, he would not sit at a higher place or at a better place. People would barely find distinguish him from the rest of the people sitting with him. Some people, when entering the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family was present, would wonder who the Prophet was. Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family did not wear a special garment. He did not sit at a special place. He did not look distinguished. That was the lifestyle of the Prophet, peace be upon him. His gatherings were gatherings of kindness and modesty, patience and trust. It was a gathering in which voices were not raised and sanctity was not trampled upon, and there the people competed with each other to be the most just and the most virtuous and the most God-conscious. And they would respect the elders and treat the young with mercy and give preference to those in need and protect the stranger. This was what the Prophet, peace be upon him, advised his companions to do. First of all, he himself acted in the way he wanted his followers to act. And as I said, the Prophet's actions, words, sayings, all are authoritative. If he observes silence, if he acts, if he says something, all of them are authoritative, all of them are proofs for us. So we as Muslims, we as the followers of Ahlul Bayt, should follow in the footsteps of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and we should make our best attempts to be like the Prophet, peace be upon him, to adhere to the values and principles he introduced. Dear brothers and sisters, let's have a break and we will be back in a minute.
My heart is so full of longing. I wish to be close to my beloved. I dream to walk in the streets of Medina and to quench the thirst of my spirit by visiting you, O Muhammad.
Welcome back to Like Muhammad with me, Javed Akbari. Well, brothers and sisters, we are discussing a tradition from Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam about the qualities and normative conduct of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam narrates that his father said The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, was constantly smiling. He was very easy to get along with. He wasn't hard-hearted. He wasn't loud-voiced. He wasn't immodest. You know, there's also a verse in the Holy Quran which says, لَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيذَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were hard-hearted, then everyone would get dispersed from you. So that was why, the Prophet was so humble, so low-voiced, and so modest. He would not seek to find faults with people or to, you know, flatter people. He would ignore and avoid that which he did not like. For example, no one would lose hope from him, nor would he would disappoint anyone. These are something you can find in the hadith. And I said that this hadith is very lengthy. You can read it in Sunan An-Nabi. Sunan An-Nabi, I hope you're familiar with that book. It's a compendium of the Prophet's sayings and, of course, behavior, lifestyle, and seerah. So that book is a very important book to read. Just as I said, the hadith is very lengthy. It says the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, held back three things from the people. He would not condemn or rebuke anyone, nor would he seek out another's secrets, and would not speak in matters in which he sought a divine reward. So, seek out another's secrets. And this is one of the problems, or maybe one of the defects many people seem to have. They would like to disclose other people's secrets. They would like to divulge other people's defects because they want to surprise other people. So, disclosing other people's secrets is obviously a very mean act. It's despicable, both from the perspective of akhlaq as well as sharia. Let's take a break and then we will be back.
ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. According to Islamic Sharia, it's absolutely forbidden to, first of all, disclose other people's secrets or to speak about other people behind their back. And then, from the viewpoint of akhlaq also, seeking out other person's secrets, finding faults with them, and then disclosing their secrets is a despicable act. It is disgusting. It is abhorrible. The Prophet is our example. He is our role model, and he is the best of role models. When the Prophet spoke, his companions lowered their heads as though birds had landed upon them. And when he fell silent, they spoke. They would not, you know, compete with each other to speak. And when he spoke, they would pay attention until he had finished. They spoke with him as they spoke normally. He would laugh with them when they laughed and be amazed when they were amazed. And he would bear the uncouth language and questions of a stranger with patience. He would say, if you see someone in need, then aid him, help him, reach out to him. He would not accept praise except from his equals. He would never interrupt another person when he was speaking until he asked permission or until the speech had ended or the other person stood up to leave. And it has been narrated that Zayd ibn Thabit, one of the companions, said, when we sat with the Prophet and we began to talk about the afterlife, he would join us, speaking with us about the hereafter. And if we began to talk about the worldly affairs, he would also join us. To put it in a nutshell, I would say that the Prophet, of course, did not want to look distinguished in the eyes of his companions. He lived like a regular individual, just as the Quran says, قُلْ أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Tell the people that I am a human being, I am mortal like you, except that he receives revelation and message from Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, time is over. Until next session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like